Before every learning session at the opt-in, we take a moment. We take a moment to pause. We call it our mindful minute.
And within the mindful minute, we ask that our participants reflect on the heart set that allows us to look at things like openness and being aware of what's going on with other folks and around us. And there's also an opportunity for freedom and flexibility to reflect on whatever is weighing on your heart and mind at the time.
That's our wonderful Samantha Martinez. She's our content design lead and also one of our learning facilitators here at the opt-in.
The intention there is that whatever you were doing before and whatever we are about to do, those things are now in transition. If you were coming from a meeting or from a busy day at work or from maybe a challenging engagement, this is an opportunity for you to give yourself the space of transition to say, okay, what happened happened. I am in a new space. I am in a new environment. I'm allowed to take just this minute to move into the next stage of what I'd like to do. It is an extremely valuable and underutilized resource. We don't talk about the importance of transition enough.
Maybe you're listening to this podcast after a long day. Maybe you're commuting home, or maybe you're finishing up your dinner. Wherever you are, you deserve a transition into this auditory space. So in the spirit of intentionality, let's go ahead and take a mindful minute.
Let's start by finding a comfortable position. You can close your eyes for this exercise, but if you would prefer not to, that's okay. Instead, find a blank spot on a wall, a floor, maybe a table, and gently raise your gaze upon it. Let's check in with our bodies. If your shoulders are up by your ears, they don't belong there. Go ahead and drop them down to where they sit naturally. If you're like me and you tend to cross your legs or cross your ankles and tuck them under the chair, go ahead and place them firmly on the floor in front of you. If you notice you're hunched over, take a moment to stretch out your back and find a comfortable resting position. Tilt your head from side to side and gently let it roll forwards and around in a circle. Notice where you feel tension, resistance, maybe even some stress. Take a moment to take a deep breath in, maybe your first one of the day, and let it out in a big whoosh or sigh. Great job. Now notice your breathing. You don't need to change anything about it. Just notice it as it comes. And for the next minute, I just want you to breathe. I won't count your breaths for you. Remember that there's no right or wrong way to do this. Just breathe and try to exhale for longer than you inhale. Let's begin in 3, 2, 1.
This is the opt-in, and I'm Aurora Archer. In this season of the podcast, we're taking a deep dive and looking at a multi-year DE&I partnership between the opt-in and the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, also known as CHOP. We're taking you along the ride of our victories and also what we've learned along the way. This season makes a lot more sense in sequential order. And if you're starting here, I encourage you to go back to our feed and start from the beginning. Trust me, it's going to make a lot more sense. In the last episode, we shared with you our theory of change and why it's so important that we center DE&I strategies around race and cultural competency. Today, we'll be showing you how we actually make this happen. You'll meet some of the key players who help run a project of this caliber successfully. We'll also tell you about our method to help companies achieve multicultural, collaborative, connected, and innovative work environments. I wanted to start this episode with our mindful minute because it represents an important tenet here for all of us at the opt-in. Mindfulness is much more than just a tool. It's a framework. It's a framework that allows each and every one of us to show up better.
We talk a lot about self-care and how self-care can become burdensome and ineffective when it is obligatory and put upon and kind of pushed upon you, foisted upon you. And the mindful minute is an example of you being able to take a minute anywhere, in the middle of a meeting, in the middle of a difficult work day, when you're home by yourself and feeling low.
But we're clear that mindfulness doesn't need to look a certain way. We encourage people to make it their own.
As a little bit of personal disclosure, I am a neurodivergent human and de facto a neurodivergent learner. And so I noticed that I was sensitive to things that other people were not. So for some folks, the sounds of like water and birds and that sort of thing, the waterfall made me need to go to the bathroom. That was not helpful for being in a mindful state. The birds, I was focused on what kind of bird it was. And so there were just certain things that did not work for me. But when I discovered the sound of waves as opposed to waterfalls and the idea of being at an ocean, that was super helpful. When I found out that I didn't need to always listen to the same person for the same meditation and that I could focus on making my tea and just on making my tea, when I was allowed to consider hyperfixation as a way of meditative state, those realizations were really what helped me realize, oh no, this is what I'm doing just in my own way.
It's indicative of what we do. We meet people where they are while also helping them move forward. Samantha embodies so much of what we do as an organization. She is authentically herself, which is hard to do in a society where often we're told to stay in line, to go with the flow. I want to tell you about the methods and tactics that we use here at the Opt-In to deploy our theory of change and help organizations move forward towards a more inclusive environment. But before I do that, I want you to get to know us a little bit. Because knowing who we are authentically is a huge part of this work. If you know who we are, what we're about, and what we stand for, you're already starting the journey. You met our Theory of Change lead and facilitator, Colleen Philbin, in our last episode. But today, we wanted you to get to know some of the other members of our team, including Samantha. I would love for you to tell us a little bit about who you are, Samantha.
I am a first generation student in many ways, college student, first generation child of immigrants and all of these wonderful things. My mother is from Guadalajara, Jalisco, and my father is from Torreón, Coahuila, both immigrated before they turned 15.
And for Samantha, family is a big part of why she does this change-making work.
So whenever I hear the why, it's for the point of connection. It's for the point of community. Every time I spend time with my family and family adjacent, we have tías and tíos that are not blood related, but they are kin. And we spend so much time with them. And I'm reminded that we are lifted up by our community and we are benefited by our community, and that working in silos and working alone and the focus on hyper-independence is one of the things that is painfully, painfully, painfully isolating us from one another.
Samantha sees the potential for collectivity and collaboration through DE&I work. She also sees the opportunity for individual growth. Some people come into DE&I and cultural competency learning with their own motivation. Sometimes that motivation is work-related. They want to achieve a better bottom line. Sometimes it's to be a better ally.
And sometimes it starts with a desire to tell your own story. And I feel like that is something so central to the way that we work with folks, to the way that we engage with folks, is encouraging storytelling and then allowing those things to be the connections that form. I know one of the pieces that we talk about a lot, especially in our intro section, is this idea of windows and mirrors. And that has never escaped me as a powerful way to engage. There will be times where you look in the window and you will say, oh, that's new. That's different. I haven't seen that before. And it allows you a curiosity to ask and engage, but to ask in a way that's for curiosity and not collection, right? to give us an opportunity to have those questions and to build the connection out of those questions, not to collect information that we then utilize in a not so healthy way later, but then to allow our stories to develop and to metamorphosize into something much more beautiful than we were before. And I love the idea of taking these bits and pieces that you learn through connection with others to build a better version of yourself. And I'd like to believe that that's what we're creating. We're creating an opportunity for connection to happen, and we're allowing the opportunity for folks to build better versions of themselves by proxy of the storytelling they share with others.
Then we have Kevin Epler, one of our content design partners, as well as a facilitator at The Opt-In.
My name's Kevin Epler. My pronouns are he and him. I'm a white dude. My background is in education, where I spent 20 years in traditional classrooms, both in secondary and college level settings.
Like Samantha, Kevin is authentic and deeply committed. But as a white facilitator, Kevin has a different set of observations, especially when it comes to what motivates white people in advancing their cultural competency learning.
I used to have this question when I would hear it. I used to detest this question, which is, what's in it for me? Because that was often what I was confronted with. Not directly. Folks wouldn't rudely say, well, as white folk particularly, well, what's in this work for me? But it was in the room, and I used to detest it. I used to think, oh, how selfish. And then I started to realize how important of a question that was. And particularly for those of us who are white, I think it's really important that we can answer that for other white folk. Racism is hurting us all. It persists across all systems, whether it's housing, whether it's education, whether it's healthcare. It is persistent through all systems. And there is this yearning, this longing for connection and community. And that's what's in it, is connection, is community, is a sense of our shared humanity. It's dignity, it's worth. What I think I've become clearer on is a more equitable and just society serves all people, including lower working, poor white folk.
It's a similar yearning that Kevin himself has experienced as a white cis man in the United States.
I was always drawn to social justice movements. There was something inspiring about the works of Cesar Chavez and Oscar Romero and Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and Fannie Lou Hamer and so many others. And I couldn't put my finger on it, but perhaps it is this yearning to be in community, this yearning for connection. Like I saw in that strength, I saw hope, I saw courage, and those things to me were admirable. And this is a long-winded way of saying my why is because I yearn for that connection. I yearn for justice. I yearn for a world that works for all of us. And I want to be a part of creating that change too. And I think my highest and best purpose is to be leaning into these conversations, particularly with white folks, who I can share my own lived experience and find many ways to connect and to hopefully share my own testimony about what I've come to understand differently now through the lens of this work.
By now, you should understand that DE&I initiatives need commitment. They need company motivation as well as personal motivations from each of the participants. And it's at this point in the podcast that I want to tell you about how the sausage is made, how we actually pull off cultural competency learning that works. At The Opt-In, we've identified four domains of learning to help companies create highly engaged, empathetic, confident communicators who embrace complexity, welcome conflict, and inspire new ideas. Our four domains of learning are self-awareness, racial literacy, connection, and stamina. Maybe some of these terms seem familiar in your own company's DE&I initiatives, but I can guarantee you the way we do things at The Opt-In is different. We believe people develop cultural competence by deepening their self-awareness, expanding their capacity for cross-racial connection, and building stamina for ongoing learning. Our learning focuses on these four domains of learning as interconnected ideas, behaviors, and skills. But in a lot of other DE&I spaces, these domains are disaggregated and addressed with a very siloed approach. Colleen Philbin, our Theory of Change lead and facilitator, explains how these four domains for learning usually play out in other DE&I initiatives.
So what I see happening is maybe in a company, they focus on self-awareness through implicit bias. We're going to do some implicit bias training. Okay, now we're done. Corporations are primarily white people, and implicit bias just leaves us with, wow, you have a lot of internalized superiority, and you have a lot, like, take a look, you get in there, it is not pretty what you find. Like, it's just not, right? So, like, everybody, some companies do self-awareness, other companies do connection. Let's talk about microaggression, right? And white people are left with, like, oh my God, I am like horrible in relationships, right? It's really like, what is a microaggression? Not like, ooh, how to be in connection and not create harm. So there's not a lot on racial literacy, but we white people are off trying to do that on our own, reading books and being in book clubs, right? Not trying to connect like, wow, our history is so problematic. Not being able to then connect that to present day. And then like the stamina, just in general, my experiences, there's no working on that because everybody wants to do this in 3 hours.
These disaggregated, disconnected, short-term models simply don't work. And how do we know that? Because we feel it. We see it in the limited progress made across corporate America. We see it every day in the office, in pay disparity, in microaggressions, in the lack of communication and empathy, and the limited representation across all but the lowest ranks. The needle has barely moved.
If you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you've got, right? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and thinking somehow it's going to be different. I don't believe the opt-in has a better one-time workshop. I think the opt-in has a theory of change. So I say, meeting people where they're at and having a real clear path to change. Yeah, that sounds highly differentiated and highly effective.
Exactly. So many executives need to hear this. So I'm going to say it again for the people in the back. If you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you've gotten. And as leaders in your field, you know this. You know this at a business level. Innovation means progress. Innovation means change. Why wouldn't that be the same for DE&I work? This is why the CHOP Foundation decided to partner with the opt-in. They weren't just trying to check a box. They were focused on change. And actually, doing the work doesn't look like a one-time workshop or a book to take home to read. It doesn't look like a 30-minute compliance online survey. Actually, doing the work looks something like this. 60 minutes of individual pre-learning to prep your learning, 120 minutes of learning sessions to build knowledge and practice skills, learning facilitated by two cross-racial facilitators who model cross-cultural connection, post-learning resources to foster the habit of continuous learning, and supplemental experiences that look a bit like this. One-on-one coaching to unpack real-world scenarios that inevitably will come up. Mindfulness practice to cultivate your self-awareness. Identity-based small group coaching for BIPOC and for white groups to foster deep processing, healing, and learning in community-brave spaces. All of this each month for 6 months. Phew, that's a lot, I know. But it actually is going to take a lot to pull this off the right way. But don't take my word for it. Take Jeremy Wings. Jeremy, can you share with our audience, what was it like participating in the learning program?
Yeah, I think, Aurora, where you're so right. Like the education, the programming, the things, they meet each of us as individuals in very different spots, depending on where we are, whether we are steeped in this and have been doing the work in our communities, whether we think it's baloney and we don't understand why we have to do this at work, and all points in between. you know, there were a couple of things. Aurora, I mean, the programmatic modules were, I think, really good in how there was like the mix and the balance of thinkers and minds and people that are doing this work with, as you and I have talked about, being at an academic medical center, there's a lot of folks that are like, well, what does the research say? And what does the data say? And all of these things. There was a real, I thought, mix of the science meeting with the heart that touches lots of different people with where they're at, and hopefully people, you know, took out what they needed to out of some of those things.
Jeremy was a participant in the opt-ins learning program. He's also biracial, mixed, Chinese, and white. We start to unpack race. We start to unpack racial identity. We each have one. Our work is grounded in the fact that there's an incredible opportunity for each of us to understand our racial identity, even in the construct of being mixed individuals, and how that allows us to have a greater self-awareness of ourselves that then creates the opportunity of having an awareness, an empathy, and a curiosity of those around us who may or may not share our same identity, who may or may not share our same experiences and culture. So as you think about the learning program, what were some of the things that stand out most for you in that learning experience?
I think one of the things that I really valued in this engagement were those spaces where cohorts of folks could come together. And for me, like processing going into that, there was the, you know, white identifying, there was the BIPOC identifying. And I was like, can I go to both? Do I go to one or the other? Like, and then also being a leader and, you know, knowing how you show up in those spaces with your title and how maybe you present or people perceive you, like you don't want to have a chilling effect, or you don't want people to think like, what's he doing here? Is this misplaced, or, you know, otherwise. But what I found in those sessions is that it gave voice to different people and different perspectives. And so you just got to learn from other people. You got to hear people speak about their experience, hear people speak about their thoughts, their feelings, how they're processing the moments in our culture, but then also being Black in America, being Latina in America, being Chinese, being mixed, being, you know, all the things. And people just got a chance to share, and you got a chance to learn from people. And what I think was great that came out of that was you can go to your assigned sessions, you can check the box, you can get the certificate and say, hey, I did the thing. But what that helped to precipitate was the organic conversations afterwards, in which, you know, people would reach out completely independent of the program and say, I want to learn more about you, or I want to hear more about your story.
This right here, DE&I doesn't happen in a vacuum. It doesn't belong to one person or to one program. It takes all of us. The opt-ins learning doesn't end at the last learning program session. This learning is an invitation. It's an invitation for continuous growth, which is exactly what Jeremy's been doing.
You know, I think that the programming was great. And then those times to just hear from each other as human beings and say, I'm going to receive someone's experience and just listen and learn and educate myself was so rich and good in and of itself. But then it precipitated all of these like side conversations or coffees or lunches or things where you got to learn more and hear more and get to know, you know, your colleagues as your colleagues, but also just as, you know, human beings and people as well. And so I thought that the downstream of all of that ended up working really well.
Okay. I know we've covered a lot of information. We met some of the people who make the whole enterprise run. We also got into the nitty-gritty of what it looks like to lead a DE&I program that is built to evolve and sustain leaders. Maybe at this stage, you have a lot to reflect on about race, connection, and cultural competency more broadly. So true to the opt-in form, we want to leave you with a mindful minute. Mindfulness is just as important at the end of a session as at the start. As our phenomenal colleague, Samantha Martinez says, mindful minutes are an opportunity to reflect.
Sometimes our sessions can be heavy, they can be difficult, they can be challenging, and they can be all of those things and still be beneficial. And so we offer the moment of transition so that way they are not carrying the weight of what we are learning together into their next stage, whether it's going home or going back to their working life or maybe going to their families. The point of it is that we have an opportunity to connect.
Take a deep breath. Drink your favorite cup of tea. Take the dog for a walk. Do whatever works for you to reflect and connect. You've been listening to The Opt-In. I'm Aurora Archer. Subscribe to us wherever you listen to your podcast, and please share this with your friends and colleagues, and absolutely, yes, your bosses. We talk about some of the big challenges of this work next week, and you don't want to miss it. Music from this episode is by Jordan McCree. The Opt-In is produced by Rachel Ishikawa and Colin Lacey. Our theory of change is co-created by Colleen Philbin. Thank you so very much for listening.